This is from John 14. This is in the Upper Room Discourse. This is the night before Jesus is going to be crucified. And so he makes this statement. Now understand, this Christ who makes this statement is the Christ who lives in you. We've been talking about from Thursday night, what does the phrase Christ your life mean? And it literally means that Christ is your life. He's the source of your Christian life. He's the one who lives the Christian life. He's the only one who can live a successful Christian life. He came, the Lamb of God, to take away our sins. Not just to pay for what we've done, but to totally transform who we were or who you think you are. To set us free from things like, to literally set us free so that we don't have to walk ever again in complaining and offensiveness, saying harsh and insensitive things, being critical, gossiping, on and on and on, being bitter, not forgiving, living in fear, anxiety, lust, greed, pride. He really came to set us free from that because it's a killer. The wages of sin is death, emotional, mental, spiritual death. But the free gift of God is life as it's lived in heaven, manifested in earth, in you. You know, we've talked about what eternal life is. It's the age to come kind of life. Can you imagine what the age to come is going to be like? The age to come kind of life lived in the here and now by him through you and through me. Lived in the here and now. And so when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about the one that you're identified with, the one who says he's your life. When it says that Jesus was full of grace and truth, Jesus was also telling the truth about humanity, not just the truth about God. We looked at John chapter 1, I think the first evening, or somewhere in the last few days. It gets sort of bleeds together after a while. That it says about Jesus that he, coming into the world, he enlightens every man. This is such an important scripture. If you believe that Jesus came as an example for us to try to model, you will run into some bumps because there'll be some things that we'll say or somebody might say to you like, well, you should forgive that person. Jesus did. And you go, well, he's Jesus. That's easy for him. So the model thing, trying to mimic the model, imitate the model, doesn't work out real well when it gets really hard, becomes impossible. But the Christian life is impossible. And it's impossible for you to live so that you can be liberated and experienced from the one who alone can live the Christian life. If you could live it, you would try your best to keep living it, and it would look like you trying to live it instead of looking like Jesus living the life himself. So when we talk about bringing our thoughts obedient, bringing our thoughts to the obedience of Christ in 2 Corinthians 10, it doesn't say bring your thoughts to obedience to Christ. That I'm going to bring every thought that will be obedient to Christ. It says bring your thoughts to the obedience of Christ. We want to live in the realm of the obedient life of Christ. Walk in the level of surrender. Walk in his surrender. Walk in his freedom. Walk in his peace. Walk in his joy. Now, understand, please understand, I don't know who your favorite teacher is, preacher is. We live in a social media world, so I have people in Christ the King who listen to all kinds of other preachers and teachers, and I thank God for that. I bless that. I think that's wonderful. But if you're not walking in freedom, if you're still being difficult to live with at home, if you're still saying things that you shouldn't say that are insensitive and cruel, if Christ wouldn't say it, but you're saying it, then it's not Jesus, and you can't justify it. If you're copping attitudes that Jesus never copped, then it's not Jesus. So whatever you're listening to, please listen again to what we're saying. Please hear the Lord say to you that he came to set you free, not just from sin's penalty, but to set you free from sin's power. Because I'm telling you, living in sin, there's no fun in it. You'll find yourself often feeling guilty because you said things, but you just keep doing it. And we talked about this earlier, but you're like going, but I'm working on it. Well, and it's not going to work out if you're working on it, because you've been working on it for a long time. And Jesus worked on it 2,000 years ago, set you free from it. That person was crucified. And the one who's your life doesn't do that stuff. And it's certainly a lot more fun. It's life on the highest plane to think the way he thinks. Not because I'm trying to, because I'm allowing him to think from his mind, to see through his eyes, to feel what he feels in my emotions and feelings. That's awesome. There's freedom. That's the glorious liberty. It says about Jesus, this is in the Upper Room Discourse. And now I've told you before it comes to pass, speaking of the cross, talking to his disciples, that when it comes to pass, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Wow. You want to walk in some safety from spiritual warfare? Abide in Christ, because the enemy can't find anything in him. And he says, but that the world might know that I love the Father, even as the Father has commanded me, so I do. Let's go from here. Jesus said, this is the obedience of Christ. What the obedience of Christ looked like? That the world might know how much I love the Father, that I'm going to do what he's called me to do. You're in union with that heart. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Peter says that you are partakers of his divine nature. Jesus' nature is now your true nature. That other junk that we keep giving into, that's a lie. That's not who you are. Christ is your life. Christ is your life. Christ is your life. And so that thing that in Jesus that says, I want to be obedient because I want the whole world to know how much I love him, that's your heart. You just have to receive him as that. Surrender to that. Trust that. Because that's who you are. That's who he is. That's his heart. That's his nature. That's now your heart, your nature. Don't you want to go be who you are? For you've died. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you're revealed with him in glory. You reveal with him in glory. When Christ is allowed to live through you, you're revealed with him in glory. You get to experience the wonders of manifest presence in you, through you, manifest nature of God in you, through you. That's an amazing way to live every day. Face every situation, every circumstance, every responsibility, every relationship, every moment. Aggravating employees and aggravated employers. Aggravating children, whatever it might be. And never to walk in offense, never to walk aggravated. Jesus never got aggravated. He didn't get impatient. He wasn't frustrated. To not ever have to do that again? You say, well, you mean I can't ever get frustrated? Oh, you can. I mean, if there's fun in it, go for it. I mean, if you're enjoying all that, if you're enjoying the guilt and making other people miserable, making other people hate to work with you, be around you, keep going for it. If that's your idea of fun, keep doing it. But Christ is your life, and you don't have to. And it's not because you're trying not to. That's impossible. It doesn't work. Stop working on it. Receive him as he is in that situation, in that place. So John 1, I just quoted that verse, John 1, verse 9. There was the true light, speaking of Jesus. Earlier it says, there was a man, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The light, Jesus, shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the verse before that says, in him was life, and his life is the light of man. And that light shines in the darkness, and darkness doesn't overcome it. In him was life, and that life is the light of humanity, of your humanity. His life is the light. Where there's light, darkness can't overcome it. The only way for light to be overcome by darkness is for light to turn itself off. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't overcome it. There was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every human. In what way did Jesus enlighten every human? You know, those who've been through this, we've talked about this, but Jesus came, though God, very God, lived as man. God became human. He could have acted out of his deity, but he chose not to. He came as second Adam to show us how Adam, sons and daughters of Adam, are intended to live. Anna would know it's called the doctrine of kenosis, the self-emptying of Christ. And so the light that Jesus lived was to enlighten every human that this is what life can be like. Christ's likeness is not a pipe dream. Christ's likeness is not something you try to squeeze up and do the best you can. Christ's likeness is Jesus being like Christ. He came to live in you, not to cheer you on. He came to live in you to be who he is through you, through your personality, with your permission. I mean, that's really the deal, with our permission. To bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. He came and enlightened every man, saying, this is what life can be like. You don't have to live another day depressed, full of anxiety and fear and despair, trying to find your identity in your assignment, or in your kids, or in your marriage, or how much money you have, or don't have, whatever. He came to enlighten every man, that we can know the light that he lives. And let me just say this to you. When Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he took on our humanity. He was a number one. He was a number two. He was a number three. He was a number four. He was a number five. He was a number six. On the, is that anagram? Is that right? He was a number 10. He was a number 367. He was sanguine, he was phlegmatic, he was choleric, he was melancholy, he was all those things. And he walked in the midst of darkness, and darkness never overcame him. There's no problem with learning about who your personality type is. Just don't use it as an excuse to walk in darkness. It just reveals to you where weaknesses are, and in your weaknesses, strength is made perfect. Wow. So every time you find out something new about your particular unique humanity as weakness, you just said, Jesus, this is where your strength can be made perfect. That's the only reason I discovered this. Not so I could discover walking in darkness and say, I can't help it, it's just who I am. Jesus is like going, but I can't help being this because it's who I am. So which one do you want, who I am or who you are? And it's a lot more fun doing who he is. Amen. You know, either this is true, or if it's not true, junk Christianity. I'm not saying that there aren't battles, but the battles belong to the Lord. You know, you just don't understand. I think I do. I was mentally ill. I was clinically mentally ill. Clinical depression, clinical anxiety. I think I understand. He said, well, don't you believe in medication? Well, sure I do. I believe in liberation. And so I think medication can be a nice help until there's liberation. And thank God can use whatever. You know, I'm not against any of those things. Are you into counseling? I was married to one. Of course I am. She counseled me every day for almost 40 years. I think that's why she died. She finally gave up. Thought, okay, that's it. Maybe somebody in heaven will listen to me. She's like her dad. I know that when his dad, just before he died, he'd been trying to tell people that he was not feeling good for about a year, and nobody would listen to him. And the doctors even said, we think it's kind of mental or whatever. But I kind of figured, I didn't know him as well as they did, but sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. And he just wasn't the kind of person who would struggle like that. And so he ended up with cancer and he ended up dying. And he said, here's what I want you to put on my tombstone. And so we said, what? He said, I told him I was right. That's a classic Reeves statement. Jesus came into the world, enlightening every person. That ought to be an encouragement to you guys, really. This isn't meant to make you feel bad. It's meant to go, wow, he is the truth. He's the truth about me. I need to seek him until I discover the truth about me that I find in him. Because he dressed himself in all humanity. I love verse 14. I turned two pages instead of one. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he comes after me, has a higher rank than I, and he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of God, who's in the bosom of the Father, in union with the Father, he's explained him. It says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. As man, Jesus lived by grace. The Father, by the Holy Spirit, was the free gift to him in every situation to meet every circumstance. Jesus was tempted in every way, like unto us. Jesus didn't overcome temptation by every time he got tempted, he put on his Superman God suit and then, I can't be tempted. I can't sin. He faced every temptation as a man, as a human clothed in your humanity, every personality type. And the darkness never overcame him. He lived by grace, and because he lived by grace, he told the truth about God. No man has seen God any time, but Jesus has explained him. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says that our assignment, your calling, your predestiny is to tell the truth about Jesus, is to be conformed to his image. Jesus says, the Father sent me, so send I you. There's nothing cooler in life than through your unique personhood and the assignment God's given you, whatever that assignment might be, to reveal the truth about Jesus. And you can, because Christ lives in you. Not patting you on the back, cheering you on, going, now go do the best you can trying to be like me. It's Jesus standing in the situation and offense is rising up in you. And Jesus goes, I never get offended. Oh. Well, therefore, neither do I. We don't do that, do we, Lord? I receive you that way into this moment. Thanks. And that Christ, who doesn't get offended, rises up in me. And the darkness doesn't overcome. And instead of telling a lie about who he is by yelling and screaming and saying insensitive things and getting angry, I tell the truth about Jesus, fulfilling my assignment. Christlikeness. And of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And the language there is grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. And of his fullness. Aren't you glad you don't have to face life out of your half-tankness? Like your emotions are like half-tank. How many Christians do I see make decisions and choices? Well, I'm kind of on empty. Well, here you, I know, I understand. I know what empty feels like. But you get to live from his fullness. Of his fullness, you have all received. For all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, dwells in him in bodily form, Colossians 2:9, and you have been made full. You have been made complete in him. He didn't say, now I'm going to wind you up. I'm so glad that you love me. Your sins are forgiven. You're not going to hell. You're going to heaven. Now go do the best you can to get full like me. Be full of me. You were born full. And we get to live from his fullness. And there is grace upon grace. It never runs out. Amen. That's the third time you've asked me the same question. Like, what's wrong with you? Didn't I just say to you? Now, I know this never happened to any of you. Mm-hmm. Really? Jesus doesn't act like that. He's not impatient. Not harsh like that. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Do any of you ever, I know this probably isn't true, not this group, never could, but I know there's any time ever you sit around talking to other people about things that people have done who've disappointed you, who've offended you. Jesus never did that, ever, not once, and he doesn't do it now. And there's no fun in that. You're miserable, and that's why you're doing it, and it makes everybody around you miserable. Nobody's having fun. Of his fullness. I don't have to do that. Can you do it? Yes. Again, if you think it's a lot of fun, do it. But eventually you'll stop when you drop dead. Or hopefully before. Hopefully you'll figure out it's not any fun. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? That's the right attitude towards sin. This is awful. It's like carrying around a dead body all the time. There's no fun in this. Of his fullness we've all received, and grace upon grace. Of his fullness we've all received. I can meet every situation, every circumstance. I pray this gives you hope. Elevate your expectation. The wonder of what it means to be a Christian. I can meet every situation drawing from his fullness, not out of my emptiness. I mean, Christ got really, really tired physically with the woman at the well. He sent these guys off to get some food. He was hungry. He was thirsty. But in the moment, he asked for a drink, but he got consumed with her thirst being satisfied. And in the middle of her life being transformed and disciples coming back with food, he wouldn't eat. And he said, well, does somebody give the guy some food? He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. It's so supernatural, the life he lived so supernatural, that he wasn't, I'm not to starve to death. I'm miserable. If I don't get some food in me. Even in that thing, he's bigger than that stuff. It doesn't mean you don't eat. I'm just saying, all the excuses that we come up with, for being a grouch, for complaining. Wouldn't you like to never complain again? Amen. I mean, would it be okay to not complain again? You go, no, because I can't get my way. Oh, I'm going to do it then. Wouldn't you like to not get your way all the time again? Because it doesn't work out well. How about let's getting his way for a change? You were placed into his life and his story so you can live his life and his story through your life and your life story. Your story didn't work out. That's why you got a Savior. He came to redeem you from your story. He came to save you from yourself. So you can experience himself. Which is the right one? Him? The English teacher. Thank you. How are we doing? All right, here's another verse, and then we'll end. For those of you who going through the weekend, you know, one of the things we use to follow up is these are all taped. We encourage you to go back and try to listen to them again, even just drive them in your car, whatever. It's on Asen Orr's website. You've got the book back there, Resurrection Life book, that I wrote. I've never read it, but I hear it's good. I wrote the chapters originally, but I've never read it since, but I've read bits and pieces. It looked pretty good. So use that. That'll help you. This is Colossians chapter 2. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Just like you received him, walk. Receiving him is like the birth, you know, of his fullness we've all received. John chapter 1 verse 12. And as many as received him, them he gave the right to emerge as children of God, grafted into the sonship of Jesus. Of his fullness we've all received. So he said, and therefore, just as you've received him, Christ Jesus, the Lord, not just Christ Jesus, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I mean, it's his life, it's his way. He wants you to participate in his obedience, his obedient heart. Having been rooted and being built up in him and established in your faith, as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. Is that your life? Is that my life? Do you live overflowing with gratitude? Do you live overflowing with gratitude? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, we're to give thanks for all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, giving thanks in all things. Overflowing with gratitude. Why? Because you've been rooted and grounded in Christ. What it means to be in Christ. And you're learning, having been rooted and grounded in the truth that you're in Christ, Christ is in you. It's now his life, the Lord, and he's Lord of the life. You're not the Lord of the life. That one step at a time, when you're tempted to give in to anger, you stop and you receive him and his life who doesn't do that in that moment. Not receiving him in you, but receiving the one who's in you into your situation. I receive you, Lord. It's a gift. It's not achieving, it's receiving. It's a gift. Victory's a gift. Victory's a gift. Victory's a gift. Victory's a person. The gift of the person in that moment. You got saved because the person came into you as a gift. You walk it out because the person who lives in you as your life shares with you the gift of his righteousness in that moment, practical righteousness. Whatever it applies to. Anxious thoughts. And Jesus, just listen. Faith comes by hearing from the word about Christ. So listen. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Doesn't it say, I present your bodies as a surrender to the lordship of Christ in you. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service to worship. It's the reasonable thing to do. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. That's the greatest act of worship. Every time you surrender to him, every time you say, yes, yo, yes, well, Lord, I'm kind of scared here. He said, I'm not afraid. I asked the question recently. I said, Lord, should I be afraid here? He said, not unless I am. Should be. I said, well, of course you're not. I receive you as that in me, as my light. And then I can say, no, we're not afraid, Lord. And he takes that as worship. Because I said, yes. I brought my thought captive to his obedience. I'm not trying to be obedient to. I've surrendered to his obedience. One step at a time. I just like I received him, I'm receiving him into my heart, and I'm receiving him from my heart into my situation, step by step. And whenever you receive a gift, you always say, thanks. That's faith. I receive you. Thanks, thanks, thanks. And then Jesus manifests his life through you, and you walk in the realm of glory. Glory becomes the atmosphere. Whether you're sitting at a desk by yourself, or you're in a crowd of people, you know the glory, the manifest presence in you, through you, the manifest nature in you, through you. That's who you're created to be. It's the only healthy environment to live in. You go, well, Bishop, we know you. You don't always get it right. I know. Pray for me. Because it's, I can't get it right. He can get it right, but pray for me because it's stupid. Sin's stupid. It doesn't feel good. And no matter how much you try to block out the guilt, it just comes, man. The enemy just beats you up with it. Bends you towards yourself. You want to make the apology, but you're too proud to admit it, or whatever's going on. It's just, let it go. Let him live. But just walk step by step. Mark and I were talking last night. I told the story a little bit, and then I'm finished. He was telling me about somebody not here, not in our state, that I could have gotten my feelings hurt over or gotten offended with because of an attitude this person had. And I heard the Lord say to me, I understand their thing. He didn't say that he condoned it. But he said, I was tempted in every way likened to them. I understand. And I said, well, therefore, so do I. There's no offense here. I don't believe in them any less than I did. I say yes to you, Lord. I receive you as that. Thanks. And there's wonder in that. Because now I don't have to go to the next person and actually mention the name and tell them what a terrible person this is and how they hurt my feelings. I'm going to work through this thing because it's really bothering. Instead of knowing the joy and the glory of God, I really love this person. And I know how to pray for them. Because I'm sure they pray for me. I just love them. I understand. And I want to see them free. Not because of me. Not because they'll think I'm wonderful. You understand it's a big thing for me to get set free from? Because I'm the sanguine type personality. You know, I think I've told you that all I ever wanted when I was younger was on my grave say he was a really nice guy and everybody liked him. And then God called me in the ministry. I thought, well, everybody loves their pastor. Everybody loves their bishop, you know. Like, gee. I should have been an ice cream salesman or something. But it's so wonderful to know the wonder of not being offended, of loving that person even more and participating, not because wanting to change, not so they'll start thinking I'm wonderful, but because Jesus thinks they're wonderful. And therefore, so do I. And it's got nothing to do with what they think about me. So I was telling the Lord yesterday, because I've done this a little bit different. I've told a lot more stories and just from what God's done in my life recently, you know, whatever the major breakthrough I had in Africa and the stuff that was building, but that was stunning, is that I was talking to the Lord because I did it different. I was wanting to hear somebody tell me how great it was. And so I couldn't get anybody to tell me that. And so I finally said, Lord, how did I do? And he wouldn't answer, which made me nervous. You know, and so I said, Lord, how do you think I did? And I just saw this little smiley face. And I thought, okay, that's good. That's better than not an answer. And I said, Lord, but I want to know how I did. And he said, let me ask you this, Chuck. How do you think I did? And I said, well, Lord, I was watching their faces. It seemed like things were going really well. He said, that really was what matters. But Because it's not about whether I think you're wonderful or they think you're wonderful. Or they, no, he said, it's not about whether they think you're wonderful. It's because I think they're wonderful. And I thought you were wonderful before you ever opened your mouth. Wow. That's freedom. Yes. Amen? Yes. Okay. Well, again, for all the CTKers, I want to thank so much for Linda and the crew who did the kitchen. Thank you so much back there. I ate so many onions with that salad. I know that Isaiah kept, when I would talk to him, I said, why does he keep backing up? I thought maybe it's the glory. He just can't deal with it. It was like, no, I think he's about to pass out from the onion breath. Well, if you can't get him one way, you got to get him another, you know? Thank you for the food. It was awesome. All you who worked in the kitchen, thank you so much. Because Jesus thinks you're wonderful. Before you did all that, right? So you didn't do it so that... And then all the intercessors, Edith, thank you so much. All the team members, some of them have left. We had team members here from Mobile and from Tuscaloosa and from Birmingham and from Georgia and from North Carolina and from several from North Carolina by way of Kenya. We had one team that were Kenyans who live in North Carolina. And was there, did I miss a state? Those were team members. And so one of the reasons these guys are here, because they want to take it back to Africa. So that's awesome. But again, I don't have words to say how much we love y'all, how much I love you. How much we, Jesus, love you. And how grateful you are. You guys are awesome. They were so much fun, the young ones. I'm sure it's because of Mary Rees. Mary Rees told them she'd kill them if they didn't cooperate. So we determined, like, that we're glad she's not any bigger or she'd be scary. Like Olivia, you know. Huh. But we're here for you. And this isn't the end of anything. It's just a new beginning. You got to walk it out. That's why we do all the teaching. You got to walk it out. And if you fall, what do? Like, just lay there and feel sorry for yourself? Wallow around the dirt for a while? No, you own your stuff and get up and start walking again. Right? Walking. You know, as I get older, the whole, like I'm going to physical therapy so I won't fall, but they almost killed me in physical therapy. I almost fell 7 or 8 times. Thinking, is this the deal? Teach you to fall so you know you don't die? But if I were to fall, I'm not just going to lay there the rest of my life and go, that's it. I want to get up and start walking again. Amen? Yes. All righty. Enough. Father, I thank you for your word. We're thanking you for 100-fold harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope also for all of you who, and I bless it, the whole thing about, what is it called again, anagram? Like if I named your number, don't get offended I named your number. You should be encouraged. Jesus was clothed in your number too. He was a number, one of those, whatever that was. But I wouldn't want to be number two. If that's a personality type, I wouldn't want to be number two. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to go to the bathroom, get a new one. I don't want to be a number two. So maybe they should skip number two, like elevator skip floor 13. Yeah. What's your personality type? Number two. You go, well, it's kind of like sitting in a pew. I think it was an angry pastor that named the pews. Because, you know, they call this, historically, the pulpit's called the holy desk. But where you sit is called a pew. I think that's a source of a lot of inner healing needs. All right, let's stand together. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Share the sign of God's peace with one another. Stand up there with us. His English is not quite good enough to. He would like to serve. Hey, Bracken, I think you'd like to serve. He would like to serve. Okay. Yeah.
You just Just keep.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
All right, be seated for just a second while they're preparing some things. Isaiah, come. So everybody listen up. This is really significant, okay? Everybody. That's what Winston used to say, everybody. So now this can't, you can't do this for like 15 minutes. You understand? I will get there by Crozier, put the hook around your neck and pull you out of here. So I know there was one thing yesterday you were going to share for sure.
Yes, sir.
And so, but if there was something else, that's good too. But don't you, I think I had an idea that he's going to be a proclaimer of the word, but it can't start here. Okay, all right. Go ahead and share this fun story.
All right, so my name is Isaiah Ziegert. I just went through the Lazarus program this weekend. I had a miracle happen to me. I had a bad history of self-harm. And
self-harm, do you understand that, what you said? Okay.
I had a lot of scars from that, especially on my left arm. After Friday night, we had the mass, we said prayers and everything, going through this Lazarus program. And that night I get home, and I'm looking at my arms, and the scars aren't there. I was struggling a lot with that, and I really wasn't that close to Jesus. Now, a miracle happened. I was able to come here and meet every one of y'all, which was a very nice pleasure of mine. I did not know anything about the Episcopalian Church or the Lazarus program or anything until my friend told me, and he invited me, Jack Winton, and he brought me to this, and I went through all of it, and it basically healed me. I have Jesus now, and I'm excited to have that. So, yes.
Amen.
So
here's the deal. He was on my team. Who can beat that on your team, huh? Here's the cool thing that because he had these where he had cut on his arm, and he's got a picture on his phone. But it was that Friday night in Generational Eucharist. That, before anybody even, people gave him words and stuff, but all the scars are gone. Now here's the deal. I'm believing that all the scars on the inside are gone too.
Amen.
Amen. One of the things I've learned over time is as you walk in the Spirit, just receiving Christ moment by moment into every situation to be who He is, there's a healing process that takes place too. Amen? Okay. All right. I thought that's a cool story, right? Amen? Okay.